Morning, everyone. I'm very excited to be with you guys here this morning, and I'm super excited even just seeing what the Lord did in worship. I'm very excited to see just what He's going to do, and I believe and I trust that He will come and speak to each one of us this morning. We've been spending quite a lot of time as a team, even in prayer before we came, for you guys as a congregation, and with even what we're trusting the Lord is going to do, it's exciting, and I believe He's going to come and just blow wind in your sails, and that's what we're hoping for. That's why we are here. We want to come alongside you guys and blow wind in your sails. Awesome. So this morning, I want to start by asking a question, and this is personally a journey the Lord took me on, and this changed my life completely, and it is, what is holding you back? That is the question that I want to ask. So throughout the whole time, what I'm going to be referring back to is this thing of what is holding us back? What is holding you back from giving yourself to the Lord fully? What is holding you back from giving yourself in worship? What is holding you back from unlocking a new thing of God? What is this thing that is holding you back? So I'm going to start off by reading in Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's insane. So the moment we give our lives to Jesus, the moment I say, yes, Lord, I want to live for You, that is when your race, then you enter into this race that you need to run. And let's say I'm an athletics coach and I have someone that I'm busy training. Can I run his race for him? Can I come alongside him and cheer him on and help him, give him pointers? So that is the leaders that are placed in our lives. They're there to give us pointers. But each one of us need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. So here, today, I want us to look and say, the important part, you can keep the scripture on, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So we're not just running a race into the empty or into a direction that we don't know, but our eyes should be fixed on Jesus. And that is the important part of the scripture that the Lord even pointed out to me. So there's a couple of things we can look at. It says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded. You're a congregation. And let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. So all this weight or this sin that is so close to us, that clings to us, it says lay it aside. It's like if you're trying to run a race, would the best strategy be to run with a backpack on, with full of bricks? No. No. So it says, let us lay aside every weight, every sin which holds us back from running this race. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures, like what are we as Christians called to? So now we know we're running this race, but I want to just look at a couple of scriptures that will give us a little bit more clarity. In Matthew 7 verse 13 to 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So here it says, as we follow Jesus, as we give our lives to Jesus, it's not like, okay, now it's easy, now it's all sunshine and roses, but it says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. It doesn't mean it's just a terrible and it's very exciting, it's full of joy, it's full of faith, and it's full of life, but there is a dying that happens as we run this race, because it's dying to ourselves. It's casting off that weight that is clinging so closely to us. But the first verse says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. It's like a highway that is leading to destruction. It's a broad road, and those who find it are many. And we are standing in this in the middle, and we have a choice. Either I go by the narrow gate or I go by the wide gate. And this morning, you can choose in which direction you are running. Each one of us, in a point in our lives, need to decide which way we are running our race. Philippians 3 verse 8 to 11. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Everything of myself, everything I have, I count it as rubbish. It's meaningless. It doesn't have any value to me. Yes, it has earthly value, but to me, in comparison to Jesus, everything else I have is nothing. It is meaningless. It is worthless. I count it as garbage. And that is the lifestyle we should have. It doesn't mean you must go and throw away all your things. But it's we live in the mindset of everything I have belongs to God. And everything I have is not even worth comparing to Jesus, because he is the ultimate one. He is the one that sent his son, that because of him, we can have life. There's life in Jesus. There is life in Jesus. I'm not going to go on to the rest. Luke 9, verse 23 to 25. This is what Jesus said. And he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What does it profit a man if he gains everything in this world has to offer? You can have everything in this world, but if you don't have Jesus, it's meaningless. There's nothing. So this is what the scripture is saying, that there's if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to be in this circle Christianity, we need to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily to follow him. Salvation is not a mere moment. It's not just saying, yes, Lord, I follow you. But it's a daily choice I need to make to die to myself, to die to what I want. And it's like, Lord, come and live through me. Come and transform my life. Because yes, it's cool. We look to the cross and it's, yes, he died on the cross for my sins. My sins are forgiven. And it's yes, amen. It's beautiful. But there's a response to that. And it's, Lord, here's my life. It is no longer I who live. Galatians 2 verse 20. It's, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives within me. And then it says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is how we live our lives. This is how we run our race. It's like, Lord, it is no longer my life, because the moment I give my life to Jesus, it's in the word. I give my life to Jesus. It belongs to him. It is his life. So it's like, Lord, it's no longer my ideas, my ambitions, my dreams, my things, but it is you who live through me. So Lord, it is no longer I who live, but it is you who live through me. And that is when the cross comes and transforms you, is when Jesus starts to live through you and the gospel starts to transform who we are as an individual or as a person. Because then we go, because we know what we've heard. So we go when we make disciples. We go when we preach the gospel, because we know that we have been transformed by the cross. It is not mere something that I know, but it is something that has transformed me. It is something where it's like the Lord is doing a work. Like I receive it, but he's doing a work through me. And allowing the cross to come and transform our lives is the aim. That is, we're looking to Jesus and he's living through us, and we are running our race with endurance that has been set before us. But now, how do I do this? How do I run? How do I know which way to go? In Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5, it says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. So there's, Lord, come and reveal the road to me. Come and reveal the path to me. Come and show me the truth. And then we follow. In John 14, verse 6, just another verse on that, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me. So here we see, that's the race. That's where we go. And we if we don't know the way, we ask him, Lord, come and reveal to me the path. Come and show me the way. But how can we know the way if we don't know the one who made the way? And how can I know the Father if I don't know the Son? How can I see them if I don't seek them? How can I find them if I don't look for them?
If I don't look for Jesus, how can I find him? How can I look like Jesus if I'm not spending time with him? Because then it becomes a mere analogy or what we think. But as we seek him, we will see Jesus for who he really, truly is. And then the cross will come and transform our lives as we apply it in our own lives. So how do I then walk out my salvation? We see in James 1 verse 19 to 25. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. We put it off. We put it away. It's like I lay aside every weight. It's pointing back to that. We put aside all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness, with humility, the implanted word, the truth, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if we are here, it's like, Lord, we can read all the scripture we want, but if we are not applying it in our own lives, it's not going to transform us. It's not going to come and enable us to run this race, but it would be mere knowledge. And this is a trap I personally fell into. I was like, what does it look like to spend time with the Lord? It's reading my Bible. So I went and I read my Bible, memorizing scripture. And then the Lord's like, no, you're missing it. Scripture is important. It's the truth. And that is how we seek the Lord. But as soon as it's like, okay, I know this, I know that, I know this, I know that, we're missing it. The change comes by applying what we read. It's by applying what you read. You can read the whole Bible. If you don't apply one verse, you won't be changed. But if you read one passage and you only apply one verse, you'll be more changed than the whole guy who read his whole Bible. Because you'll actually apply what you're doing. You won't only be a hearer of the word, but you'll be a doer of the word. And that is when you're transformed. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into the mirror at his natural face. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, of freedom, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Not only a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He will be blessed in his doing. So this is where we find the favor of the Lord. This is where the Lord comes and transforms us. As we take these things that we hear, as we take this truth, this Bible that is, it's truth, it's the word of God, and we allow this to transform us by applying it in our lives. That is where the transformation will come. That is when there will be a difference in the way in which we are. So there's a daily, because daily as I read scripture, I'm like, yo, I'm missing it so much. But then continuously there needs to be a Lord. We see David's cry in heart posture in Psalm 51 verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is our cry, because we want to look like him. So it's like, Lord, as I read this truth and I start applying it, I see how far I miss it. But it's like, okay, Lord, my cry is for you to come and transform me. Having that heart posture of, Lord, come and change me. Come and search me. Where am I missing it? And then through that open heart posture of, Lord, come and do your work. Come and help me. Come and enable me. The Lord will come, because then your heart is soft and he can come and work with that, because you are willing for him to come and change the way in which we are. We can come and change our hearts. But each one of us, I want to bring it back to that. In Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, each one of us have our own salvation to walk out. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Each one of us are responsible for our own salvation. Each one of you have to choose to walk for Jesus daily. It's that allowing the, as you get to, you allow the word to transform you, It's like, Lord, I daily choose to follow you. It's like, Lord, come and transform me, Lord. Every day it's, okay, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives within me. Okay, the next day, Lord, it is no longer I who live, but it is you who live within me. And as you start to transform, it's like, okay, I'm starting to walk out and work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Then you see your race is becoming from a walk to a little jog, and you're starting to build up the momentum because the Lord is blowing air in your lungs, and it's like, it's, that is where you want to be. You want to allow the Lord to come and fill you, but you need to be willing. You need to be open for the Lord to come and do the work. Because we see it says, for it is God who works in you. But we need to be willing. We need to be like soft clay in his hand. Like, Lord, come and work. Come and do what you want to do. Ephesians 5 verse 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is what we need to allow. We need to allow the Lord to come and do this work through us, in us, and then through us. Now, how do I do this? So I went and sat, and these are things that personally for me, I've felt the Lord shift immense things in my life, like big things. Like this is where I went from lukewarm to actually giving myself fully to God and knowing that there's no other way is through these things, these three things that I've implemented in my life. The first one is accountability. Accountability meaning you have someone that is walking with you, someone that is allowing and you allowing them to speak into your life, allowing them to come and help you to shape and mold you, point you to Jesus. Because we're not in this alone. Like we read in the verse, there's a lot of people with us that is running this race. And they are running with us, but then also to have that coach with you, to be like, yes, he's alongside you, to encourage you, uplift you. And that definitely has brought so much freedom for me. And we see in 1 John 1 verse 5 to 7, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is where you have that person who you can walk with and be like, this is what I'm going through. This is to be open and vulnerable with them. Sometimes it really feels awkward and it's like, I don't know how to share this. I don't know. But it changes your life. It changed my life. I am able to walk in to a measure of freedom that the Lord has paid because I've been walking in accountability. Because I'm not doing it alone. I have this person saying, hey, come, let's do this. Let's focus on the Lord. Let's go. Let's run in this direction. Because our natural, we run and then all of a sudden we just go like this. Then our focus deviates. And the moment we lose sight of Jesus, that's the moment when compromise creeps in. The moment we lose sight of Jesus, that's the moment when we start looking for our affection and our treasures in the world. Is the moment when we lose sight of Jesus. So have that person with you who can walk with you. James 5 verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So there's this where you have someone with you to pray with you with things and allow him into your, or him or her into your life and to allow them to speak into your life. Because that is when the iron sharpens iron. Like we read in Proverbs, it speaks, iron sharpens iron. So one man, a righteous man, sharpens another. So who we surround ourselves with and allow into our lives will also add to this race that we run. Then the second one is spending time with the Lord. It's probably one of the most important ones. We need to seek God. If we don't seek him, we won't find him. Hebrews 10 verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near. Let us be a people who draw near to God. Because of what Jesus has done, we can walk in the presence of God. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we can walk in a relationship with God. But we need to spend time with him. If I want to get to know someone, I can't get to know them by just not spending time with them. I get to know a person by spending time with them, being intentional with them. And it's exactly the same with the Lord. We need to seek him and spend time with him. Luke 5 verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This was Jesus. Jesus saw the power of prayer and of spending time with God to the measure he withdrew to desolate places to pray and to spend time with the Father. So much more should we be a people who go to desolate places and pray and seek his face. Amen. And then thirdly is church. That is something that has transformed me completely. I was in youth for 5 years from 2015. And it is youth is amazing and it's very good. But where my life was changed was church. Church family. Like youth is not church. But as soon as I stepped my feet into church, I was changed completely. Like it was a complete transformation. Because there's just something about church that came and transformed me. And we see in Hebrews 10 verse 25. Yes, please. Oh, sorry. So it's okay. You don't have to get it. So it speaks about not neglecting the gathering of the saints, not neglecting to gather together because there is power in us meeting together. There is power in us coming together as a congregation and meeting and seeking his face together. So there's the aspect where we see God by ourselves, but we also see God together as a body, looking to him and running our races together, encouraging one another, praying with one another. There is power in coming together, meeting together as a congregation. In Acts 2 verse 46 to 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. So the church, giving yourself to church is not merely giving yourself to a Wednesday evening and a Sunday at church. That is not what church is. Church, as we come to, as a body, we come together. We meet together in one another's homes. We spend time together outside of the formalities. That is what as we give ourselves to church, that is what it looks like. And that is where my life transformed. Because it's not just a Sunday meeting. It's not just the Wednesday community. But it's doing life together. Allowing people into your life. Allowing people into your homes. And through that, you see something of Jesus that you didn't see because they can add a different thing. And because I only see in part, but if someone here and someone here and we're all seeking together, he adds something, we see a fuller picture of Jesus. So that's why it's important to meet together in one another's homes. And it doesn't mean you need to invite the whole church as 100 people come over to my house, but it's, hey, what are you doing after church? Come have a meal with us. Or on a Thursday, I'm not doing anything. Hey, come over to my house. Let's seek the Lord together. Or let's just have a braai. So there's so much power in having fellowship with one another outside of the formalities. Amen. And why? What is the purpose of running the race? So now we know that we are running a race. We know that we need to die to self and daily choose that we need to follow him. And we know some tools, how we can do this. But why? Why? Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And the question is, are we ready? And every time I think about this, I'm like, yo, are we ready for his return? Are we ready for Jesus when he comes back? And we see in Matthew 25 verse 1 to 13, it's the parable of the virgins. So I'm going to read through this, but I want us to listen. And then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks with oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Oh, do we have oil in our lamps? Do we have a zeal within us? Is it like, Lord, I am currently running my race, or am I standing in the middle? I'm like, I don't know where to go. I don't know which road to go. I'm like, the pull of the world is so nice, but it's like, I know I need to do this, but it's like, I don't know where I am. And that is the reality for a lot of us. And I'm here to say, Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day nor the hour. You need to have oil in your lamps. We need to have oil in our lamps. There's opportunity now to come to the Lord. But the day that He returns, the door will be shut. And it's a painful thing to know, because it's like, ah. Oh. But we have an opportunity now. Let's count the cost. Let's live for Jesus and Jesus alone. Let Him be the King on your heart. Because there's life in Jesus, life in Him alone. And where I came to this point, I was grade 12. And I was living my own life, doing what I wanted to do. And I woke up the one morning after I went out, and the Lord spoke to me, said to me, Tristan, you're going to hell. And I said to Him, what? What do you mean? I go to youth. I sometimes go to church. I every now and then read my Bible. What do you mean? I know you. He says, I don't know you. The road you are walking now, you're going to hell. You need to choose. Either we choose life or we choose death. We can't be in the middle, because He's coming back. And we need to choose which direction we are running in. We need to choose. And the Lord says, come to us. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there is a call. There is a call for each one of us. So there is a call. So I want to ask us to reflect on our lives. So where you are, if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. But reflect on your life. Where are you with God? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? If He comes back now, is there oil in your lamp? Is there a fire in your heart? Or is your oil running out? Or you have never poured oil?